Before we get started with today's episode, a quick word from our sponsor. If you're like me, you're probably doing a little spring cleaning, not just around the house, but around your business too. Well, why not reduce your digital clutter with NetSuite by Oracle? You can reduce costs and headaches in the process. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, all into one platform and with one source of truth. And with NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, and you can access it from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems, go from many to just one. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have made the move. Cut costs, boost performance, and reduce digital clutter. That is a smart move for sure. So by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Just head to netsuite.com/SPI. That's netsuite.com/SPI, netsuite.com/SPI. Hey, we have an amazing event coming up, the Expert Advantage Workshop Series, where every day for a week, starting on Monday, May 20th, it's myself and another expert coming on to present to you about various kinds of things to help you with your brand and your business. Our brand new experts in residence and pro are going to be there to co-host these workshops with me. And you're not going to want to miss it. You'll have a chance to ask all of them questions, and it's completely free to join. All you have to do is go to smartpassiveincome.com/advantage. On Monday, May 20th, Amy Nelson's going to come on, and we're going to talk social media, but specifically how to drive revenue and connect with important stakeholders that matter to you in your business using social media. The next day, we have Nosheen Chen, and she's going to lead a presentation about how to become a better communicator, how to increase those skills faster, because that's going to help you not just connect with new people, new clients, but also get your idea across better. A ton of takeaways in that presentation. And all you have to do to sign up and join and get all the links that you need is smartpassiveincome.com/advantage. Again, one more time, smartpassiveincome.com/advantage. Join us on our Expert Advantage Workshop Series. You're not going to want to miss it. Again, smartpassiveincome.com/advantage. And real quick, let's thank our sponsor, Memberful. If you're ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about, as a membership expert, Memberful is here to help you navigate the ins and outs of launching a successful membership business. Memberful is best-in-class membership software used by some of the most prominent independent publishers and creators on the web. With Memberful, you can unlock untapped revenue streams and build sustainable recurring revenue while growing a deeper connection with your audience. The platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website, all while integrating your existing tools so you don't need to change your workflow. Plus, you always have access to their top-notch, real human customer service team excited to share the ins and outs of running a successful membership business. So get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, memberful.com/SPI. Check it out.
This is a Smart Passive Income Podcast with Pat Flynn, session number 69. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your host, who learned how to fold laundry by watching YouTube, Pat Flynn.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for great talent. Match with them, thanks to Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data. Plus, their matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You can ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employees agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. I love how simple Indeed is, and it manages everything. Again, all in one place, from the screenings to the messagings, interviewing. You can do it all from Indeed, which makes it super easy to hire the right person that you need. So join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/smartpassive. Just go to Indeed.com/smartpassive right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/smartpassive. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Are you saving for a down payment, a wedding, a dream vacation? Monarch makes it so easy to help you reach your financial goals, and that's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is a top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all of your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now you can get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/SPI. Unlike other personal finance apps, Monarch's simple, intuitive design makes it so easy to get started. They have a built-in feature to collaborate with your partner, family, or financial advisor. You can invite them to your account at no extra cost, and they'll get their own login info and joint view of all your finances. And they're obsessed with improving, too. They release updates every 2 weeks and allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on feature requests, and view the product roadmap, which is awesome, especially from my perspective as an entrepreneur. So after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's a top-rated personal finance app. And right now, listeners of the show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/SPI. That's monarchmoney.com/SPI for your extended 30-day free trial.
Hey, what's up? This is Pat Flynn, and welcome to session 69 of the SPI podcast. So happy as always to be bringing you another show today. Just a really quick thank you to those of you who messaged me on Twitter after the last session, session number 68. I had a blast just reading all those tweets about it. It was just hilarious. Some people laughed. Some people even got a little bit upset at me, not in really aggressive way, but just, that was funny type of way. And if you're not exactly sure what I'm talking about, well, then I guess you got to listen to episode 68. And this brings me right into exactly what we're going to talk about in today's episode, and that is building buzz. You know, how do you build buzz for something that you're coming out with soon, or something that maybe you have already that you really want people to pay attention to? You know, when you build buzz for something, you're creating anticipation. You're getting people excited about something that's to come, and that's when you get people to want more. That's when you get them to do things like keep refreshing your page just to see if what you said was coming out yet or has come out yet, which is something that actually happened to me on my site the other day. And I'll tell you about that in just a second. But if you build buzz and you execute correctly, the results can be amazing. When you build buzz for something, you're doing the work beforehand so that when you come out with whatever it is that you're coming out with, you do the launch or publish or whatever, things start to happen and roll on their own because you've done the hard work already. And of course, as you're launching and publishing, you can do things to keep that buzz going and keep it spreading. Get people who didn't know about whatever it is that you have to realize what they've been missing out on. And these are the things we're going to talk about today. Now, the first thing you have to realize about buzz is that it's started by you, it's created by you, but it really is fueled and generated by other people. You know, other people fuel it. People are the engine behind buzz, other people. Buzz is a term used sort of in word of mouth marketing, which today doesn't mean just from person to person in person, but also, you know, person to person or person to persons, plural, on platforms like blogs and social media, news, email lists, and all the things we should be paying attention to already if you're doing business online. So the good news is that we have all the tools available to create buzz already. But as we all know, tools need to be used correctly in order for them to work for us. Now, another important distinction to consider before we move on is the difference between buzz and hype. On the surface, they might be considered the same thing. You know, creating buzz for something, creating hype for something, getting people excited. But the main difference between buzz and hype is what people are getting excited for, or actually how and why people are getting excited. To me, hype, the noun, let's look at the dictionary definition of it really quick. So hype, noun, two definitions. First one, extravagant or intensive publicity or promotion. You see, this is, to me, what gets people into trouble. It's why internet marketers have a bad name. It's the hype. You know, hype isn't bad necessarily, but overhyping is. And it's really easy to do. That's when you hear the, you can earn $5 billion in 2 days with no work with this one product. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And so hype is a sort of self-promotion. You know, you're doing it. Primarily, it's sort of an outbound excitement type of thing that you're doing. Buzz, however, I mean, think about it. Can you over-buzz? I mean, have you ever heard of that term, over-buzz? There was too much buzz out there. I mean, we don't hear that really very often. And it's because buzz is an inbound form of excitement. You know, you flip a switch, you make the announcement, you put things into place, and everyone does the talking for you, you know, and draws attention in toward you. That's buzz. And when someone else talks about you in an extravagant way, it's less dangerous than if you were to talk about yourself in an extravagant way. So I hope that makes sense. We're not hyping things up. We're laying the foundation for buzz to occur. Okay, so what was that second definition? It was, number two, a hypodermic needle or injection or a drug addict, which is kind of interesting when you really think about it. Now, check this out. I'm looking at the origin of the word hype right now, and it comes from 1925 to 1930. Americanism, incense, to trick and to swindle. To trick and to swindle. We don't want to trick. We don't want to swindle people. Now, check out the origin of the word buzz. There's a few sort of origins of this word and its different meanings. From the late 15th century, echoic of bees and other insects, right? Bzzz. Aviation sense of fly low and close in 1941. But check this out. A noun meaning a busy rumor. Attested from the 16th century. A busy rumor. How awesome to think of buzz as a busy rumor. So think about it that way. That's what I want you to think about. Now that we have had our sort of English lesson, you know, I want to ask you a question. What company is really good at creating buzz right now? Think about a company that has everyone talking about it before they, you know, unveil something new. Can you think of one? Now, if you said Apple, then you're right. You know, they're so good at creating buzz about stuff. So yes, we're going to talk about Apple for a little bit. I know it's sort of cliche to use Apple as an example in marketing. I mean, you know, everybody does it. But I think in all previous 68 episodes, I haven't even used Apple as an example yet for anything. So I might as well do that now when it's something that they do really, really well, which is the topic of today's show, creating buzz. Now, you might be thinking this. You might be thinking, Pat, it's so easy for Apple to create buzz because they have so many customers already. They have raving fans. They have people who are expecting something new on a very predictable schedule. Now, my response to you is, yeah. Yes, 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 you are absolutely right. And I want you to pay attention to what I just said before all those yeses. So let's break it down. First part, it's so easy because they have so many customers already. They have an existing audience, you know, a customer base. There's no easier way to start building buzz for something than if you already have an existing audience on your blog, you know, that's followers, subscribers, people on your email list, people who already read your stuff, people on social media, and especially previous customers. If you're going to build buzz, start with people who know about you already and contact them directly if you can about what's to come. You know, those are the people who are already going to be excited about what you have to offer, even without knowing exactly what it is yet. And you just drop in teasers here and there. And I mean, especially if they don't know what it is, they're going to be really excited. If you've already provided some awesome experience for them in the past in the form of a product or course or whatever, coaching experience, blog articles, podcasts, whatever, then they're going to want more just because they had a good experience with you already. And when you let them know something new is coming out, you know, they're primed. Okay, so the next part of what I had previously said, raving fans. No, Apple just doesn't have a customer base. You know, they've built a culture of raving fans. People who when they hear something new is coming out, you know, the new iPhone or new this or that or whatever, they're going to talk about it and they're not going to stop. They're going to blog about it, tweet about it, Facebook about it, just talk about it over lunch and dinner. They're gonna bother people with how much they're excited about this. They're gonna dream about whatever it is. So if you can get raving fans, then your money. You know, and we could talk a whole episode about obtaining raving fans and how to get that. But we'll save that one for later because that's a really interesting and important topic that I want to leave on its own podcast. Now, don't worry if you know, you don't need all of this. You don't need a customer base, although it helps. You don't need raving fans. Of course, it helps. If you're just getting started and you don't have an existing customer base or don't have raving fans yet, don't worry. You know, I'm just sharing why it's so easy for Apple right now. And that this is, of course, something you can shoot for. So we'll talk about stuff for those of you who have really are just starting from scratch in just a second, but I want to continue. So we talked about, you know, they already have customers. They have raving fans. Next, people who are expecting something new. Expectation is the backbone behind building buzz. It's when people expect something new, something that may potentially change the game or improve their lives. That's when buzz happens. So the trick is creating that expectation. And for Apple specifically, you know, people expect Apple to create new things, you know, new version of whatever. And just in general, each time there's massive amounts of buzz. If you can create something in your business that people can expect, something, maybe a line of products and new ones come out here and there, or a series of something. For instance, you know, I do the income report and that builds buzz every month because people expect it and it's something new. You know, they know what's coming, but they don't know exactly what it's going to be like yet. That's what I do. And right now I'm in the middle of this thing called the Niche Site Duel part two. And I'll get into that later in this session. Maybe I'm just throwing this out there. Maybe you're an Amazon fiction writer and you're creating a sense of a series of books, you know, sort of like episodes of a show or parts of a movie. Then, you know, that's creating something people can look forward to, especially if you leave everyone hanging at the end of one of the previous books, you know, sort of like, you know, Back to the Future. You know, in part one, Doc Brown came back, loaded up Mr. Fusion with beer and banana peels, and then he and Marty and Jennifer flew off to whoever, nobody knows, but, you know, it said to be continued. That built a whole bunch of buzz for part two. In part two of Back to the Future, Doc got zapped back into who knows where until a car pulls up right then and there, hands Marty a letter from the past, from none other than Doc Brown, who is in the Wild Wild West. I mean, crazy, right? Now you want to go see what the heck's going on there. And so that builds buzz for movie number three. I mean, gosh, you all know I'm a Back to the Future freak, right? Anyway, when you get people to expect something new, something that's coming out later, they're going to generate buzz about it. But again, Apple's been doing this for a while, so they have that working to their advantage because it's just sort of part of what they do already. And the last part of what I said earlier is that it's on a very predictable schedule. So when people know what date something is going to happen, not only will people anticipate that specific date and get excited about it, but you have a specific schedule you can follow leading up to that launch date. You know, you can better drop hints and generate excitement leading up to that date. Apple almost predictably comes out with new stuff each year, you know, during their Apple keynote presentations. There's a website dedicated to telling you whether or not it's actually a good time to buy specific Apple products based on when they can predict the next models coming out. Now, that website is, if you go to buyersguide.macrumors.com. And it's crazy, right? There's an entire website dedicated to Mac rumors. I mean, if you don't think buzz is important, you know, busy rumors, just see what kind of excitement this stuff gives people. I mean, entire blogs dedicated to buzz. I mean, that's awesome. Of course, that's Apple, and we're not Apple. So what can we do to create buzz? How do we create buzz if we don't have a huge customer base? Or maybe you're selling something or coming out with something brand new, so you don't have that customer base. Maybe you've just recently started, but you know you have something worth buzzing about, but nobody else knows about it yet. The truth is, this is the truth. If you have something awesome, if you have something that you know is helpful for people, that is worth talking about, then if you just build it, you're going to lose. Right? You probably thought I was going to say something else, but if you just build it, you're going to lose. You can't just build it. You have to market to. If you just build it, they're not going to come unless you get it in front of people, and in front of the right people too. But you don't have any people, you say, or you have a small group of people. Well, if you have a small group of people or followers already, or maybe a small existing customer base, they are everything to you. They should be everything to you. Love them. Get them excited. I mean, have you ever heard of this thing called your first 1,000 true fans? I mean, maybe you haven't, but you know what you want to do is understand and try to get your first 1,000 true fans. And if you're not there yet, get your first 100 or even 10. These are people you know the names of. You know, find your true fans and get them to become ambassadors. You know, get them involved. You don't need very many people to make things happen. But whether you have people of your own or not, you're going to need to find more. And the way to do that is to put yourself onto platforms where people already exist, where people are already looking for something you have to offer. You actually have to market and do the work in order to build buzz. Now, most people build and hope, and then nothing happens. That's why they fail. Now, let me play an audio clip for you that was from a previous episode about a guy who was a nobody before, who didn't just sit back and build something and just wait. He went out there and made things happen. Now, you may recognize his voice. Let me play it for you.
The approach I took is very similar to what's echoed in an article called 1,000 True Fans by Kevin Kelly, who is the founding editor of Wired magazine. I chose the least crowded channel, i.e. in-person meeting, as opposed to phone or email, to connect with people who are thought leaders in specific audiences, specific blogs, etc., by going to events like South by Southwest Interactive, Blog World Expo, and so on. And I never hard sold the book. What I mean by that is just shouting louder or trying to do a better job of selling in a very mechanized way is not the best way to find a fit for your content, if we're talking about content. My general approach was, because I knew no one, is I would sit in on a session, listen to panelists on topics that interested me, then approach the moderator of the panel and give them 10 seconds on who I was and ask them who they thought I might get along with, who was attending the event, whether as a speaker or an attendee. And then I would meet person after person approaching things very similarly and ask each person, is there anyone else you think I should meet while I'm here? And I asked a lot of questions. What I mean by that is, from the very outset, I wanted to understand what people were doing, what they were planning on doing, what they did outside of work. And then if they asked me, well, what are you up to? I would say, oh, I'm working on my first book. It's pretty nerve-wracking. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm here to try to figure out digital because my publisher has their hand in everything else. And this is really the only thing that I can do myself. And I don't know the first thing. And I would pretty much stop there and then go back to asking them questions. And if they dug deeper, what is your book about? Or, oh, really? And they asked about certain aspects, I would answer it. And at the very end, if someone genuinely seemed interested, and if not, I never pushed it. If someone genuinely seemed interested, I would say, look, I have a bunch of advanced copies that I don't have places to send. If you'd like, I could just, I don't necessarily think you'd like the entire book, but I could use post-it notes to pick the 20 pages I think you would really like and send it off to you if you'd like that. And if they said yes, great. If they said no, I've got too much going on, that was fine too. And what that ensured was a few things. Number one, not only did I identify, in many cases, single author blogs with audiences of 100,000 or more in many cases, where the content was a perfect fit because they'd gone through these filters of just questioning back and forth. Secondly, I ensured that I was developing friendships and relationships with people I liked as people anyway and who liked me as a person anyway, so that when I had the next launch, the 4-Hour Body, when I had the launch after that, the 4-Hour Chef, these are the same people I am still friends with starting in 2007. So it was relationship building as opposed to transactional.
Of course, that was Mr. Tim Ferriss, author of the 4-Hour Workweek, talking about how he marketed that book and went from nowhere to almost everywhere, utilizing the power of building relationships. And then that book was rejected, you know, by 27, I think, publishers before it was finally published. And that's how much he believed in his product, which obviously is really important. He didn't have a platform of his own yet. So what did he do? He went out there, met people face to face. He didn't pitch them. He just became friends with them. And then he got them interested in what he was doing. And then what happened? His book came out. Everyone started talking about it. And he was essentially everywhere. I mean, he put in the hard work. The buzz was being built for him. And you know, his book shot to number one in the New York Times bestseller. So that's the first strategy. I mean, we're going to go over a number of various strategies for building buzz. Some may be better for you than others, but what Mr. Tim Ferriss did, I would say, is probably the best thing you can do. You know, it's not always the easiest, but meeting people in person at conferences, at meetups, becoming friends, getting them interested in what you're up to, of course, is letting them know about what you're doing and asking them for help, giving them free copies of whatever it is you have to offer so they can make the decision on their own whether to share it and invest themselves in it too, or blog about it or whatever. That's the best thing you can do. And I really am happy that I was able to play that there for you from Tim again, because it's so important. Now, if you can't meet in person, you know, not everyone can. You know, the next best thing is to make friends online with people who will hopefully share the same audience as your target audience. And yes, in person it's best, but you can probably relate to this next statement. I mean, you can become really good friends with people online before you even meet them in person. I mean, it takes time, of course, but I know from experience. You know, I have a ton of friends online only who I felt a real connection with before I ever finally met them at a conference. And yeah, I've met most of them already. But even still, you know, we all talk to each other even before we met. We link to each other, we retweet each other, and even talk on Skype and help each other out when we need to or feel like we have something worth promoting for each other. It's great. I mean, if you have a group of close friends and you're coming out with something, you know, then let them know about it way ahead of time. You know, talk to them like you would normally talk to them and talk to them about how excited you are. Even get them involved. You know, that's something I love to do, especially in my mastermind groups. I'm like, hey, guys, I'm so excited about this thing I have coming up. I'm still working through it. I'm struggling a little bit, but this is how I want it to work. What do you guys think? Is this useful to you? How might you be able to help me out? What do you think should be included? And of course, if they're interested and they have something to add, they'll be interested in keeping up with my progress. And if they're a good friend and it fits their audience, they're going to want to promote it. I mean, there's not even any work involved after that. You know, it's just time and relationship building. So that's strategy number one and two. You know, number one, meet and greet and share what's neat. Number two, you know, build relationships and friends with people online. Now, those are both two, of course, more sort of long-term strategies, but they're so important. You know, and pick up the phone too. I mean, seriously, people, get on the phone, call people to talk and see if there are any synergies between you and others. I mean, other people and even other companies. You know, you may connect with someone at another company who may jive with what you have going on. And it seriously just takes one to really help you out. And once you land that big name, for example, you know, to work with you on something, that's almost instant credibility right there, which will get you in with other people too. Okay, so other strategies that I've seen being used. Strategy number three, the wait list. You know, anything with a wait list must be pretty good, right? Well, not always, but if there's a wait list, this is what happens. If you're on it, you're anticipating when you're on it, you know, when you might not be on the wait list anymore, you might be in. You know, you're almost in, but not quite. And that's really powerful. And then when you're in, you share how awesome it is to be in, and you get others who want to be on the wait list too, you know, to come and be like, oh, I want that. So people who don't even know about whatever it is in the first place might come just because there are people in the wait list or who are in already sharing their experience with that product. Now, case in point, there's this iPhone app that just recently came out called Mailbox. And it's a mail client for iOS that can be used instead of the built-in mail app from Apple. And the way they released it was it was a slow rollout, you know, using a waitlist, which is actually pretty common in the startup world. So what they did was they released the app to the first, you know, X number of people who downloaded it. I'm not sure the exact number, but then everyone else who downloaded it after got put on the waitlist. One that you could actually see where you were in line. I mean, and how many spots were both ahead of you and also the number of people who signed up and got the app after you. So people who were in line behind you. I remember seeing a picture of someone's placement on the wait list for this app on Instagram. And it was like 150,000 in line, they said. So of course, I immediately downloaded the app because I didn't want to wait any longer. You know, the app's free, so I could hold my place in line too. And I was seeing, I think I was at like 350,000 in line. And of course, they conveniently put a share button on there for anyone to announce where they were in line with a link to download the app, which is really smart. But there was lots of press about this app. And as a result of the buzz that was created, they just exploded. You know, it was pretty awesome how they managed to use the waitlist to their advantage, because they could have easily just released it to everybody the moment they downloaded it, but they didn't. They used the power of the waitlist to generate buzz. Okay, strategy number four, scarcity. You know, similar to the waitlist, if people know there's only a limited number of spots available for something, like a course, or maybe you're going to sell X number of copies of something, then that creates buzz too, while at the same time playing on people's need to not want to lose out on an opportunity. You know, people hate to lose opportunities, which the scarcity thing is great for. It could be, like I said, for a limited number of spots in something or a number of copies, or it could be also a limited amount of time. And this is why sales work so well. I mean, right now it's Memorial Day, and I'm seeing all these commercials on TV and hearing them on the radio for sales for all kinds of things that end today. You know, cars or, you know, whatever sales is going on at the mall. Just this weekend, you know, only till end of day Monday or something. You know, that makes people come into the stores now and start talking about that with their friends because they want to be the ones to tell their friends that they have these opportunities. It makes them look better and feel empowered. And thus, buzz ensues. I mean, you may have seen promotions done online that utilize a timer. You know, that's scarcity in the sense that time will run out for that deal. Now, if you're going to use this strategy and have a timer or say something's only limited for a certain amount of time or a certain number of spots, you need to make sure you stick to the schedule and truly limit the spots or stop selling after time runs out. You know, if you don't, then you're just falsely using scarcity and people can see right through that. And that's just bad. I mean, sometimes you can, you know, you go to these pages with a timer and you just refresh it and it just resets. I mean, that's not cool. You might as well be an infomercial playing at 3:30 in the morning, right? Okay, so that's scarcity. Using scarcity to build buzz. This is great, especially if you're coming out with one of your first products and you only, you know, you want to make sure you fill all the spots and you want to limit it to a number of spots so that you can have sort of a number of beta users in there to help you refine the product before you open it up for even more people. Okay, so strategy number 5, make an event out of it. So if you're going to launch something or come out with something new, you want to treat the day it comes out like it's a huge deal. Like it's a really big event. If you can think of it that way, lots of things will fall into place. This is more of a mindset sort of strategy than it is an actionable strategy because it involves lots of actions coming together. You know, think of a wedding. That's a huge deal. Or graduation. You know, it's something people know that's coming. So there's a specific date to look forward to. It's something to celebrate, something to plan ahead for. I mean, for a wedding, there's the, you know, the save the date card, which comes like 3 months in advance or whatever, the wedding invitations, the engagement party, the bachelor and bachelorette parties, all the stuff leading up to the big day, all creating buzz for it. You know, same thing for graduation and baby showers and babies and yeah, all that stuff. You know, there's lots of planning involved and lots of people involved too. So think of your launch like that. And also, case in point, you just know that it can't be done alone. You know, the more help you can get along the way, the more successful your launch, your promotion, or whatever it is going to be. And it has to be planned ahead. This is exactly what I did for the recent niche site duel that was just launched. Instead of, instead of save the date cards and RSVPs and engagement and parties and stuff like that, you know, I published strategically research posts for niche site duel related stuff. And I hinted at the new niche site duel coming out. Then I mentioned the date of when it was going to launch, and I got people involved to let me know that they were in. And in one single post, I had over 1,000 comments within 24 hours from people who were essentially, quote, RSVPing to join me. And you know what? So many people last Wednesday, when I said that the niche site duel was going to launch, they were like emailing me and sending me tweets. Where's your post? Where's your post? I keep hitting refresh. F5 on my keyboard's wearing out. You know, it was just so awesome to see that there was so much buzz for this thing that I was promoting or coming out with. And it wasn't even a product. It was just a series of posts that's coming out or an experiment or case study that's happening. So you see, I sort of drip fed little pieces leading up to the big event here and there. First, through a number of research posts and podcast sessions I did talking about things like keyword research and search engine optimization. I used big names like Neil Patel and other ones that people knew, Spencer Hawes, which added to the flair, of course. You know, do the same thing. Do the same thing. If you're going to launch something before the day of your big event or launch, you know, share interviews or pieces of what you're going to be launching for free, you know, with your audience and make it worth incredible value and just give it away for free. You know, it's only going to help you spread the word and generate word of mouth buzz so that when you do launch, things will happen on their own because people are already expecting it and waiting for it. Again, just make a huge event out of it. Okay, strategy number 6, create a series. So leading up to the event can be pretty confusing for some. You know, how do you do it? How do you lead up to your event that you're creating? One way I like to think about it is by creating a series. You know, this is very common. It sort of goes along the themes of the whole product launch formula thing that you may have heard of before. What it is a series of typically videos or something of high value that comes out sequentially over time that build onto each other. And then finally, the event happens at the end of like the culmination of it all. And the purpose of the series is to, again, build buzz and anticipation for the event that's to come. You know, I just mentioned the Niche Site Duel 2.0 thing that I'm doing right now. It was about the span of 2 weeks that I sort of prepared for this and included a rather... I started by including a rather controversial video interview with Alex Becker about SEO to start. And that wasn't by accident. You know, that was on purpose. I knew it was going to start to get people talking and interested in what was going on. Then it was a couple of podcast sessions, a post here and there, and then another interview, all within 2 or 3 days apart from each other. They each added a different flavor to the mix. Nothing was repeated. They all added value. And also within each of those posts or podcasts, I got more and more revealing about what exactly was going to happen, when the exact launch date for Niche Site Duel 2.0 was. And the final piece of the series, which was the beginning of the case study, just came out last week and was completely in high demand. So it was awesome. I literally felt a ton of pressure to get that post published by the end of the day, my launch post for NSD 2.0, which is why some of you on Twitter probably saw that I mentioned that the last couple of paragraphs were giving me so much trouble because they were just the most important ones, and I knew everybody was waiting for me. So I felt a lot of pressure there, which is kind of interesting. Okay, strategy number 7. This is something I've seen a lot of top marketers do online, and I haven't yet had the experience of doing this myself, but a lot of people do this, especially at the end of their sort of series on their event day. You know, what they do is they host webinars. They'll host webinars before or for a launch. Instead of just saying, oh, hey, here's my thing, come get it. You know, they say, hey, come on this webinar with me. I'll teach you or show you how to do this and that, you know, and then I'll be pitching something at the end. You know, providing a ton of free value. People could go to the webinar and get exactly what they need and leave. But what happens is you give away so much free stuff and you people get to know who you are. When you pitch at the end, you know, and again, if you just give away so much value that, you know, that not much pitching is needed, but you still have to pitch. And yeah, so they create an event out of the launch of their product. And it's not just a specific type of event, not just a launch day, but a webinar where people can come on, they can ask questions, interact, and participate, be involved in the discussion. All that is so important. A lot of you may have seen my buddy Derek Halpern from socialtriggers.com. He's doing a lot of webinars lately. You may have seen some of his ads on Facebook for various things he has going on. And you know what? He's doing really, really well with them. And I get his emails too leading up to his promotion. So make sure you follow him, sign up to his email list, and just see what he does. You know, obviously he has a very particular style. It's pretty much the complete opposite of me. But, you know, we're really good friends for some reason. And check out the timing of everything he does. You know, I really look up to him and the way he does his marketing, although I'm much more reserved in how I speak. strategy number 8, run a sweepstakes or a contest. So sweepstakes or contests are great for creating viral campaigns and spreading awareness of your brand and creating buzz for something particular you might be coming out with. Now, please note that there are typically a lot of rules and legal things that go along with sweepstakes in contests, which are different, actually. Sweepstakes award winners at random. Contests award winners based on skill or popularity or judging of some kind. So just something to think about. But yeah, there are often a lot of rules and legal things that go along with both contests and sweepstakes. So just keep that in mind if you're going to run a giveaway. You know, make sure you do it the right way. I ran one for Niche Site Duel. I know I keep using that as an example, but I definitely and purposefully used most of these tools in my toolbox for the launch of it. In one of the posts, I asked people to leave a comment in order to be entered into a random drawing for Longtail Pro, which is a software keyword research an SEO analysis tool that I'll be using during this case study. I was going to give away 5 copies. And that's the post that led to about 1,200 comments within the first 24 hours, which does wonders for social proof, of course. And I probably could have taken that a step further and asked people to like the post in order to qualify or maybe get another entry or tweet using the hashtag of some sort to get an extra entry or something like that. I didn't do that. But it was still successful, and when I launched the Niche Site Duel, about 2,000 people immediately signed up to participate so far, and counting, more and more coming each day, which is really cool. In the future, I'm definitely going to make use of social media a lot better when it comes to contests and sweepstakes, so just keep that in mind. I know Jeremy from ShoeMoney.com, he used to use Twitter really, really well for creating viral campaigns. I can't remember exactly where or what. I think he created some sort of post talking about how he did that. I'll try to find it. And if I do, I'll put it on the show notes, smartpassiveincome.com/session 69. It shares how he utilized Twitter for some of his viral campaigns. I don't know if it's still around. It was about 4 or 5 years ago I read into that. He was one of the first to really do some interesting things on Twitter. And lastly, let's talk about strategy number 9, which is get testimonials. You know, I sort of mentioned this before, but not really. Before you launch, give it away, whatever it is you have. Give it away to a few key people and get them to say something great about it, you know, if you can. If you can, get it done on video too. It's just much more real and personable that way. You know, and the bigger name the person has, as in the more popular they are, the more they're going to connect with your target audience and the more of an impact that video or testimonial will make and the more buzz it's going to make. So this is something you can share before you launch with everybody or even after you launch or as you launch, you know, just or you can just keep it on your sales page. But, you know, the more great testimonials you can get, the better. Having someone else talk about how good your product is much, much more powerful than anything you could ever say on your own. So think about any sort of video game or how about a movie that's not quite out yet. You know, you start to get hit with a series of trailers. You know, it's a series. You get to see them, these trailers on TV. You hear them on the radio. You check them out on the app, the trailer app on your phone. Maybe you go to the movies. You see a theatrical trailer there. They're just injecting their brand or their movie into your lives like here and there until you start to take notice. And you'll notice that on those trailers or in magazines when you see promos for these movies, you know, you'll see quotes from famous magazines. You know, they're testimonials. You know, Rolling Stone says, it can't get any better than this. People Magazine says, breathtaking. I mean, that's my favorite one. Seriously, you can look at any sort of thing that comes out on a certain date, something with millions of dollars in advertising behind it, and just see what they do. And the beauty of it is that we can do a lot of the same things as them, just in the online world. And in the online world, and especially in the niche that you're serving, it's definitely going to cost much less. And it may not even cost you anything at all. Movies that come out, books, presidential debates, new electronic devices or video game systems, new pieces of software, the new Air Jordans or the new Nike Air Mags, you know, Google Goggles or Glass or whatever it's called, you know, pay attention. Actually, pay attention to Google Glass right now. We're right in the middle of the pre-launch sequence. You'll start. You've probably noticed a few videos here and there, a number of different blogs and talking about it. It's worth paying attention to just to see how they roll this out. You know, notice when the videos come out, when you hear about it on other blogs, and what people are saying about it. Notice when the actual date finally gets released and what happens then, and try to get a feel for the buzz when it happens. It's a very, very powerful thing. So I hope those strategies make sense to you. Just to go over them one more time, strategy number 1, meet and greet and share what's neat. That's you know, actually meeting people in person and getting them interested in what you have. Strategy number 2, building relationships and real friendships online. Those two are almost a given. Number 3, utilizing a wait list of some kind, especially if your product calls for one. Strategy number 4, scarcity. Strategy number 5, make an event out of it. Strategy number 6, create a series leading up to that event. Strategy number 7, maybe combine that event with a webinar and get people to interact. Strategy number 8, run a contest or sweepstakes. And lastly, strategy number 9, get testimonials. I wish I could go into each and every one of these on their own, and each and every one of these could probably make its own podcast episode. Actually, we have a couple on webinars already. So go back in time, listen to the one with Lewis House. I can't remember the exact number right now, but I'll put that in the show notes. It's a great one on webinars. And yeah, dude, just like, I really hope this session resonated with you, because buzz is so powerful. And these are strategies that you can take with you to infinity and beyond. And if you get what I just did there, let me know on Twitter at Pat Flynn. But before we go, we have a question from a listener that I'm going to play. This is from Alex from modernhealthmonk.com, who has some questions about autoresponders and using multiple lists and staying organized. So let's play the audio.
Hey, Pat. This is Alex from modernhealthmonk.com. And I just have a quick question on autoresponders. I'm in the health niche, and I have a number of autoresponders, like for weight loss or different health problems. And I also have a main list autoresponder. I'm just wondering how to kind of use autoresponders effectively without spamming my audience and still, you know, pre-programming those so that they're delivering value just months and months ahead of time. And, you know, it's hands off for me. but again, without spamming people, because I have multiple lists and trying to, some people, you know, they double opt in on multiple lists. So sometimes they're getting, you know, a weight loss message, and then they're getting a normal list message. And then, you know, if I notify them of a new, really new epic post that I think they should read, then they maybe you're getting three a week. And that's, for me, you know, if I were getting three a week from one list, I'd unsubscribe. So just wondering, you know, if you notify people of new posts or how you use or how you would use multiple autoresponders. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Hey, Alex, thanks for your question. You know, I really love that you said adding value to your readers and subscribers, because that's exactly what you want to do always. And so you've got the first step already. This just shows me that whatever you send to your subscribers, whether it's through an autoresponder or through your broadcast, it's going to be useful. And that is, of course, the main thing. So you've already shown that you've got your head on straight when it comes to email lists. When it comes to using multiple lists, which that's a really smart thing to do, you know, separating parts of your audience within your lists, you can hit them specifically with stuff that's tailored just for them. But one thing to keep in mind is that generally, at least this is the way it is for most email software, and this is the case for AWeber, which is what I use. I'm not sure what you use, Alex, but a lot of them do this. If you have a single person across multiple lists, maybe one person signed up to your main list, and then also someone to your weight loss list, and then someone to your cardio list, or whatever you have. If you send one broadcast out to all of your lists, you know, I know a lot of people worry that they're going to get that email three times if they're on three different lists. But I know AWeber has this thing called automatic deduplicating, which is awesome. And that makes sure that if you send a broadcast to all of your lists together, each person should only get that email one time, even if they're on every single list. So just make sure your email service provider does that. If you're on AWeber, that's, you know, you don't have to worry. Now, one thing I like to do to keep things organized a little is to keep Monday and Tuesday open only for broadcast emails to everyone. And these could be any days of the week that you want, but I have specifically Monday and Tuesday only for broadcast emails, and then the rest of the week only for autoresponders. So this really helps me make sure that, okay, today's Monday, nobody's getting any other emails from me today, so if I send a broadcast out, it's the only one they're going to get. Personally, I think, and it depends on every audience that's out there, of course, but personally, I think if you send two emails per week on opposite sides of the week, that's going to be okay, especially if, like you said, Alex, you're going to always be providing value. Now, you might even do it so that every Wednesday is weight loss and Thursday is another list and Friday is another one. You know, again, just to make sure that you're not hitting people twice in a single day. But I think if you set the expectations up front, you know, when people sign up for a new list, okay, you're going to get another email, set of emails here if you sign up here, and you just happen to place them on different days than the other ones, then you should be totally good. Then you should be totally good. So hopefully that helps. I have a couple of other email resources and autoresponder things I'll put into the show notes. Again, that's smartpassiveincome.com/session69. And thanks again, Alex, for your question. If you have a question, if you're a listener out there and you have a question you'd like to send me and possibly get on the show, go to speakpipe.com/PatFlynn, PatFlynn. And I look forward to hearing from you. So thank you all so much for your attention today. Again, show notes and links and resources available at smartpassiveincome.com/session69. And look out for more Niche Site Dual posts coming up. At this point in the recording, I'm pretty sure I found my target keyword. I've done keyword research for a few days now. I'm struggling at the beginning, wasn't finding anything, but I think I found the one I'm going to use. It's a little competitive. We'll see. I might stumble upon one that's a little more open, but we'll see. And I'm still going to conduct research just in case. But, you know, I can't wait to share it with you, so look out for that soon. Please, if you have a second, just a second, please leave the SPI podcast an honest rating in iTunes if you haven't already. It really helps with the rankings and the popularity of the show. We're currently up to 839 five-star ratings, which is awesome, and I would love yours there too, even if it's a one-star rating. If it's honest, it's all I care about. I want to improve if you feel like I need to, and I know I do. Now, if you're looking for speakers for your event, this is a new announcement I've never done before. If you're looking for speakers for your event, maybe in 2014, you know, hit me up on the contact form at patflynn.me, and I look forward to seeing or speaking to all of you in session number 70. All right, Have a good one. All the best to you. Cheers and bye.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at www.smartpassiveincome.com.
Entrepreneurs, what is the smart way to save when your growing business takes you on the road? Whether you're going to events or conventions or you're speaking somewhere, no matter what it is, you need to sign up for a free membership with Hertz Business Rewards. Yep, Hertz Rental Car created a program to help small and mid-sized businesses save money. Work trips, client meetings, industry conferences. With Hertz Business Rewards, you save at least 20% every time you rent a car. And you'll save on more than just the daily rate. Members earn credits redeemable toward free rental days, and it's also free to add an additional driver if any additional coworkers come along. And for those Gen Z entrepreneurs out there, no young renter fees. Plus, sign up for Hertz Business Rewards today and earn 3x credit during your first 90 days. These benefits add up to big savings that stack more dollars in your wallet. Join for free at hertz.com/businessrewards. Applies to base rate, taxes, fees, and options excluded. Additional terms and exclusions apply. Visit hertz.com/businessrewards to learn more. Hey, if you're looking for a new podcast to add to your rotation, I've got one for you. It's called Dirty Money, and it's like a hybrid between a true crime and a business podcast. So hosts Jonathan Small and Dan Bova tell the tales of legendary scammers, con artists, and barely legal lowlifes who stop at nothing to rake in millions. Recent episodes include a man who looted $100 million from his own company. Crazy. Give it a listen. Head on over to Dirty Money right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.